story time last night. We get story time first thing this morning. Ambassador Sondland, welcome. Glad you're here. Well, I'm really not glad you're here, but welcome to the fifth day of this circus.
Anyone can tell you the news.
We lock them diamond and silk.
Mark Zuckerberg will end up and it's going to be a face without the book.
Without the face.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
Now they're chipping away at the normalization of pedophilia. And the left is embracing this type of behavior.
We welcome Dinesh D'Souza.
I know I ticked him off. In a certain sense, it's a giant up yours to Obama. And that's why the left is freaking out over it.
Jack Kennedy and LBJ, Clinton, and the double standard from the left.
Yeah, I love how the left does nothing but push the most bizarre practices down our throats and up our tailpipes.
It takes a real man to tackle the hot issues that really matter.
Michael Hart is the man of this house.
Welcome to the Michael Hart Show.
Hello, it is the 21st day of November 2019, and you're listening to The Heart of America, brought to you by, well, me, Michael Hart, and the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. It's been a while since we have been together. This is our very first broadcast of the week, Impeachment in the Big Top. We're going to take a look at the circus from this week. Also, Megan Barth of ReaganBabe.com is going to be joining us as well. We had a scheduled interview with Megan last week, but she was unable to make it. So we cut that program a little bit short. But we are going to be talking with her, well, basically what we've seen for the past week or so after a string of clowns was paraded through the D.C. hearings on Trump and Ukraine. Are we any closer to getting to the truth? Does anyone know anything? Or are all the witnesses just a long string of political pawns aiding a hapless Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi in producing one of the biggest political farces in recent history? Well, we take a look. Plus the other trending news of the week, your calls this day in history. And once again, Megan will be joining us. And we'll be giving you some information, some updates on the future of this program and where it might be heard in the future. Kind of perhaps as a little teaser, you know, a little blast from the past. And for those of you that are just brand new to what we're doing here, the whole premise of this program is to explore history and to bring the history all the way forward so we understand exactly what's going on in the nation. That's why I say breaking down the news of the day through the prism of the past. So hang tight, and if you want to give us a call, you can do so at 929-477-3761. That's 929-477-3761. And again, basically what I'd like to do here is talk about how history has impacted what's going on in the country, because we're not teaching our kids anything about American history. Most of them do not know who Lenin or Stalin or Mao Zedong is, for that matter. And in recent weeks and months, I have discovered more and more and more frequently that there are too many people in this country that are just completely removed from the reality of what's going on around them and the way this nation is founded, what it's predicated on. I had somebody contact me last week via social media, which, by the way, you can find us at Heart of America on Facebook. It's Heart of America, H-A-R-T. Heart of America is the YouTube channel, at Michael Hart Show on Twitter. And you can even look us up on LinkedIn. Our LinkedIn, we get a good-sized LinkedIn audience with a lot of folks that are actually participating in the program on that particular platform. But I had one gentleman last week contact me about the Electoral College and many of the claims by some that it was founded as a racist institution and as a way to disenfranchise blacks from voting at this point in time. It's just some of the nonsensical crap that's floating around out there. And I did respond to this particular message. I don't have the time to get to each and every one of them, but just so many of the things that young people and the great unwashed are being taught in this country today. You also saw a lot of frustration come out of the impeachment hearings, the opening that you heard, the circus comment from Devin Nunes, as there's been a lot of cross-examination of Ambassador Sondland. We're going to play that, him and Jim Jordan, here in just a moment. And I'm going to tell you that I began to put the program together, and I was going to be very audio heavy today. For one thing, it allows me to save my voice and not work as hard. But as I was breaking the audios down, I thought, I think people are just sick and tired of this. I'm sick and tired of it, so I know that you must be as well. We are going to get into the exchange between Sondland, which, in my opinion, completely unraveled the Dems' attempts at impeachment. Now, will there be impeachment proceedings moving forward? Yeah, there likely will be, because at the end of the day, that's what the Democrats are, the party of impeachment. And, from a historical perspective, it's also worth noting, and this is why I think that history is so important, the Democrats have at least feigned towards impeaching every Republican president since the 1940s. And these are the kind of things that people need to be aware of. Now, they weren't as visible or as vocal as this particular round is for a couple of different reasons. Number one, for some, Donald Trump is easy to hate. He is a narcissist. He is obnoxious. He's a bit on the arrogant side. He's got a little bit of conceit going for him. But at the end of the day, and by the way, my folks are all from the North, so take this for whatever it's worth, he's an obnoxious New Yorker. That's his biggest crime. And there are people that just don't realize that so much of what this is about is personal vendetta directed towards the president of the United States, even before he was president, because so many of the people that are coming after him now absolutely loved him 36 months ago, and now they loathe him all of a sudden. Something else that might be worth mentioning is Donald Trump has actually run for president before as a third-party candidate. And guess what? No ire, no consternation. No opposition, just support and applause from those that are now trying to excoriate him publicly. And then you also have the advent of social media. Now, one of the things that I love to talk to college students about, high school students, or any group for that matter, is how the modern news media has impacted culture, it's impacted business, and it's impacted education in this country. And that's one of the reasons that this program even stands to exist, is the simple reality that the national news media in particular, and it's not necessarily that it's intentional, but national news media, by way of the distribution channels, Yahoo and all the websites and Snapchat News and Instagram News and all that kind of crap, that they are so much more of a space, in air quotes, space to fill. And the simple fact of the matter is that there is so many different things and places and devices and platforms, oh my, that have to be filled. And they have to fill it with the most provocative news that they can conjure up. And that is what we're seeing in this country today. And this is one of the things that makes this particular impeachment proceeding so unique, comparatively speaking. But first, before we get into all that discussion, let's take a real quick look at history, because it was on this particular date in 1789, North Carolina ratifies the United States Constitution and is admitted as the 12th state in the United States. 1861, little Freudian slip there, Confederate President Jefferson Davis appoints Judah Benjamin Secretary of the War. 1877, Thomas Edison announces his invention of the phonograph, a machine that can record and play sound. You know, a little insight from, we're always talking about the court system, right? And how the California, in particular the Ninth Circuit Court, is just so wacky. During the period of Edison, late 1800s, Edison developed developed a technology that would allow for motion pictures, movies, to be created. But Edison was an East Coaster, and he was embroiled in a couple of patent battles with a couple of other inventors on the East Coast. We get into all the things with, Nikola Tesla and others, as a matter of fact. But the reason that Hollywood exists, Hollywood, California, is that Edison is embroiled in these patent battles with these East Coast inventors. He relocates out to California, knowing that the courts in California were not as likely to enforce patent regulations. That's how Hollywood came to be. Now, isn't your life vastly improved because of that? Yeah, he was running from a lawsuits because of his inventions that other people had claimed credit for. And that's also a story, by the way, which is included in Unknown America, Myths and Little Known Oddities About the Greatest Nation on Earth, and some of the other things that we get into that might completely startle you. So it was on this actual date that Edison announces his invention of the machine that can record and play sound. Also on this particular date, taking a look all the way up. Yeah, we don't want to get into that. Yeah, that's kind of boring. Yeah, Oh, another one. 1922, Rebecca Latimer Felton of Georgia takes the oath of office, becoming the first United States senator. Which you might not know, she only served for 24 hours. Why? Get off your credit card and go buy the book. Also on this date, in 1927, the Columbine Mine Massacre, where striking coal miners are allegedly attacked with machine guns by a detachment of state police who are dressed in civilian clothes. Also on this particular date, finally, in 1959, American disc jockey Alan Freed, who had popularized the term rock and roll and music of that style, is fired for WABC AM over allegations that he had participated in a payola scandal. A lot of people don't realize that there are legal restrictions on people in terrestrial radio in particular. By the way, wait for it, because here it comes. Alan Freed engaged in a quid pro quo. How about that? All right. So let's take a little bit of look at what's going on in the world around you today. Please check us out again at Heart of America. We've been a little bit lazy here lately on the videos. We're trying to create somewhat of a YouTube classroom to educate people on what's going on in this country. But let me give you a little bit of quick insight here. I am not in a position to elaborate on this any further than I'm about to. But this program, if you're listening via Heart, H-A-R-T, heartofamerica.net, the website, or even on your phone or whatever, because you actually can download the website to your phone and save it as an icon and listen to us when we're on the air. In a couple of weeks, maybe three, we will be going back to full time every day of the week. However, one of the reasons that we've been dealing with this is that I've been doing a lot of retooling of websites, a lot of work with certain organizations to get out and speak at conferences to teach these young people and even business people, business owners and executives, how the current state of media is negatively impacting their businesses and culture, by the way. There's this whole story, you know, about Chick-fil-A and how they are no longer giving money to the Salvation Army and the Christian Athletes, Association of Christian Athletes. Well, these stories have a little bit more to them, but I'll elaborate on that perhaps another day. But getting to the truth and stuff, there's been a lot of things we've been working on. But in a few weeks, you'll still be able to listen to us at heartofamerica.net, as well as a couple of other websites and podcast platforms, because this program will revert more or less back to kind of what it was when we were on a terrestrial signal, because we are going to be returning to the terrestrial airwaves. Now, some of you, it will not be the same station that some of you, it will be a Central Alabama station. It is not the ones you probably think it is, so no scuttlebutt there. But what we will be doing is we will do a live broadcast Monday through Friday, Central Time, from 7 a.m. until 9 a.m., Monday through Friday again, that will simulcast not only from the terrestrial signal, but you'll be able to stream it live via Heart of America and the various social media platforms like Facebook as well as LinkedIn, and we might even put up a Twitter feed. But it will be a soft kick in the middle part of December, and then the first week, I believe it is, of January, Heart of America will, the Michael Hart Show will rebrand itself into Heart of America across the board and go back to terrestrial towers that'll be heard primarily out of Birmingham on the radio, but will be heard via social media and other device platforms for the immediate future with a possible, and I mean a possible, expansion into other markets in the very near future. So beginning in, and we'll make that announcement again, but beginning very soon, just a few weeks, we will be on the air Monday through Friday, beginning at 7 to 9 in the morning. All right, so after a long and contentious fight in the, well, the judiciary hearings, I am absolutely beyond bored with this impeachment proceeding. It has been, as Nunes points out, a complete farce, a complete circus. This Sondland guy, Ambassador Sondland, Gordon Sondland, the European Union ambassador, was all over the place during his testimony. This thing has gone on for so long, there was even a nighttime hearing. He supposedly tied top officials to the potential quid pro quo involving U.S. military aid to Ukraine and investigations desired by President Trump during his highly anticipated impeachment hearing yesterday, yet said he never heard that link from the president himself. One of the key witnesses in the impeachment inquiry, Sondland, claimed that he kept Secretary of State Mike Pompeo aware of what was going on and said he specifically told Vice President President Pence that he had concerns with military aid to Ukraine had become tied to investigations, though a Pence aide had denied that. So what we're getting is the proverbial he said, she said, nobody seems to know anything. Everything, as Representative Mike Quigley stated on Monday, is nothing more than hearsay, and we should expect some kind of an indictment, impeachment, and or the possibility of conviction and removal based on hearsay. Now, here's something that is worth noting. Some of the verbiage in the United States Constitution was not necessarily exclusive to the founding fathers. There were other countries that had other ideas that dabbled with democracy and other forms of monarchy light, if you will. They studied these systems and they adopted things from said systems that they thought would be appropriate. In other words, they took the best of multiple political philosophies to craft the United States Constitution. One of the things that they also did was they stole the term high crimes and misdemeanors from parliamentary proceedings. The reason that this is germane to this impeachment inquiry of Trump is that in England, high crimes and misdemeanors was a fluid term. Unfortunately, for everybody that makes these claims that the Constitution is written in stone and is not to be tampered with, seem to forget that we have an amendment process attached to it as well. The founding fathers, and they didn't think we'd be this dumb. They didn't think we'd be this stupid. They thought we would do our due diligence. But the founding fathers put the terms high crimes and misdemeanors in the language because they wanted people in each individual generation to define what that term meant to them, predicated on the current state of their current civilization and culture. They did not, however, think that it would be something as outlandish as hearsay. It was meant to create gridlock and confusion because they wanted, they desperately desired, or thought for that matter, that there would be a majority of thought on how a nation would define those particular crimes or misdemeanors or what they are. And what you're seeing in Washington, D.C. today is Adam Schiff and people like Sondland and others trying to define high crimes and misdemeanors. That's why this has been so arduous. Because the majority of Americans aren't sold. It transcends just the removal of a president. They have got to sell the notion that what the president has done rises to the status of high crimes and misdemeanors in your mind, because the overwhelming majority of Americans and almost 100% of Republicans are in opposition to removal of President Donald Trump. So that's what we're seeing in this country in terms of these hearings, because they have yet to define high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, we can run around all day long and talk about how it's a circus and it's a hoax and it is what it is. But because of the current state of American education and knowledge, wisdom, insight, foresight, etc., there could come a time where the Democrats are in fact successful in defining in the minds of voters what high crimes and misdemeanors means in terms of removal from office. We have yet to get there because most people, and Trump obviously is the leader in this movement, a lot of people, particularly through the libertarian stripe, are not highly supportive of mass amounts of foreign aid. And Trump is not either. And that's what a lot of this comes down to, is dumping hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars in your dollars, U.S. taxpayer dollars, into the hands of what are sometimes deemed despotic governments. And frankly, very frequently are. If most American voters understood the amounts and the extent and the frequency of these payments to other nations, and what it would mean to the tax code and your pocketbook, not to mention American economic markets, if this money was to be patriated, I won't even say repatriated, just kept here, it has a massive economic impact on the United States of America. So Trump is, in part, running with the idea, even with his trade agreements, that we need to stop paying all this money out. Now, this was not a quid pro quo. Sondland himself, in testimony that we're going to play here in just a moment with Jim Jordan, admits that there was no quid pro quo, that Trump wanted nothing. But Trump definitely has an issue with Ukraine. In some of the comments made by some of these guys, I believe that a lot of the comments that have been made by the president through his frustration of the amount of money and the fact that Ukraine is not necessarily a strategic partner of the United States, I realize, standing in defiance of Putin, I get that. But the reality of it is, this is an amount of money that may not be a great investment. That has caused frustration in the mind of the president, which has caused the president to say things in the past that might imply, in his reluctance to write the check, so to speak, that he wants something in return. Then you have Adam Schiff and the band of merry warriors out there trying to define that as a high crime or misdemeanor in the eyes of Americans, where in many eyes of Americans, they agree with the president's assessment that this is ill-advised money that is being spent in Ukraine. This is one of the reasons, for those that are paying any attention to this, that the Democrats are becoming increasingly desperate in these attempts. Not only are they having problems defining it as a high crime or misdemeanor, they're having a damn hard time getting the American public, the American voter, to jump on board with the fact that it should be treated as such. Again, one of the key witnesses is European Union Ambassador Gordon Sondland. He made several comments yesterday that simply do not hold water for the claims of the Democrats. In one exchange between Sondland and Jim Jordan, and it's about 3 minutes long, but I want to play it because Jordan brings up a couple very interesting issues here. One is that there was about a 40-minute long opening statement by Sondland that omitted a very key piece of information about the quid pro quo that probably never would have been revealed had Sondland not been questioned by another representative in a cross-examination. Towards the end of the audio, you'll hear Jim Jordan bring that point to bear, but he makes a complete mockery over the visit of Gordon Sondland to yesterday's hearings. Here's the exchange between Gordon Sondland and Jim Jordan.
Ambassador, when did it happen?
When did what happen?
The announcement. When did President Zelensky announce that the investigation was going to happen? On page 14, you said this. Was there a quid pro quo? Today's your opening statement. As I testified previously, with regard to a requested White House call, White House meeting, the answer is yes, that there needed to be a public statement from President Zelensky. When the chairman asked you about the security assistance dollars, you said there needed to be a public announcement from Zelensky. So I'm asking you a simple question. When did that happen?
Never did.
Never did. They got the call July 25th. They got the meeting, not in the White House, but in New York on September 25th. They got the money on September 11th. When did the meeting happen again?
Never did.
You don't know who was in the meeting?
Which meeting are you referring to?
The meeting that never happened. Who was in it? You know how Zelensky announced it? Did he tweet it? Did he do a press statement? Did he do a press conference? You know how that happened? I mean, you got all three of them wrong. They get the call, they get the meeting, they get the money. It's not 2 plus 2, it's 0 for 3. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. And you told Mr. Castor that the president never told you that the announcement had to happen to get anything. In fact, he didn't just not tell you that. He explicitly said the opposite. The gentleman from Texas just read it. You said to the president of the United States, what do you want from Ukraine? The president, I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I want Zelensky to do the right thing. I want him to do what he ran on. What did he run on, Ambassador Sondland?
Transparency.
And dealing with corruption, right?
That's right.
Mr. Castor raised another important point. Why didn't you put that statement in your opening statement? I think you said you couldn't fit it in. Is that right? You said we might be here for 46 minutes instead of 45 minutes.
It wasn't purposeful, trust me.
Wasn't purposeful?
No.
Couldn't fit it in a 23-page opener. The most important statement about the subject matter at hand, the President of the United States in a direct conversation with you about the issue at hand, and the President says, let me read it one more time. What do you want from Ukraine, Mr. President? I want nothing. I want no quid pro quo. I want this new guy, brand new guy in politics. His party just took over. I want Zelensky to do the right thing. I want him to run on and do what he ran on, which is deal with corruption. And you can't find time to fit that in a 23-page opening statement. You know what a quid pro quo is?
I do.
This for that, right? Looks to me like Ukraine got that three times, and there was no this. We didn't do anything. Or excuse me, they didn't have to do anything. I've never seen anything like that. And this is when the call came out. Y'all remember this? When the call came out, everyone said we're gonna quid pro quo. There's gonna be that was what was in the call, and of course that didn't happen.
Of course it did not. I do not recall the movie. I want to say it's called Shooter or The Shooter or something like that. Mark Wahlberg, military guy. He is a sniper. Who else is in that? Danny Glover's in it. And the whole premise of the movie is that he's being framed and he's trying to prove his innocence and blah, 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 blah. But you have a group of politicians that he has discovered that are, well, they're up to no good behind the scenes. And eventually he ends up killing all these guys because they're trying to kill him because he's trying to reveal the fact that there are certain villages that are being wiped out in other parts of the world for oil and all kinds of other crap like this. If you've seen the movie, you know what I'm referring to. I think it's hard for Americans to realize that there are politicians in this country, and we can point to Clinton, Hillary Clinton, all you want, and the Clinton Foundation. If we think it stops there, we're crazier than hell. The United States, for a lot of people in positions of power, has been the world's benefactor. Or let's put it this way. No, that's the wrong word. Oh, yeah, the world's pimp. They will use United States money, power, influence, and prestige to grow their own. Where you have people working behind the scenes in their own best interest. Have you noticed how, if you've listened to the hearings, they keep referring to Trump behaving in a way that benefits him personally? Folks, you know, I am not a psychiatrist or a psychologist, but one thing I do know is that when people level accusations at another, they are typically guilty of those same misbehaviors. There was some psychologist some years ago that made the claim that when you meet people that are homophobic, I mean, just so defiant against the LGBT community, vocal and loud about how disgusting and degrading it is, trashing gay people at every corner, that are, what they're really doing is they're cloaking their own latent homosexuality. I'm heterosexuals all live in hell, but I don't care if somebody's gay or not. You can marry a toaster for all I care. Keep it out of my church. But that's a conversation for a different day. The point is, you've got Democrats on the Hill projecting their own guilt on this president to lay cover for their own misdeeds. I'm not suggesting Adam Schiff. There are people that are lapdogs. There are people that are pawns that are operating in a greater sense. And there's too many people in this country that are so naive, they simply cannot realize what's going on around them and how this country and you as the taxpayer are getting robbed and raped almost every single day from your birthright, your economic security. We got people sleeping under a bridge 5 miles from where I'm broadcasting, and hell, half of San Francisco doing the same. But yet we're going to offload $400 million to Ukraine in military aid, benefiting the Biden family. Don't want to get any further into that conversation, because if you haven't swallowed that little poison pill, nothing I say is going to change your mind. It's a damn big Soros-inspired shell game, and we ain't invited to the party, y'all. And what you're seeing before our very eyes in real time are attempts by the powers that be behind the scenes to cloak from you the truth of what they are really up to when you are struggling 8, 10, 12, maybe 14 hours a day to pay your bills, keep a roof over your head, and raise your family. Socialism. Really? Socialism is comical compared to what's going on in this nation today. Comical. Oh, Michael, socialism is about redistribution of wealth, and that's what they'll do. They're already doing it. They're just redistributing it to themselves. But they wouldn't do that. They're Americans. Uh-huh. Whatever you want to think. Whatever you want to think. We'll be right back.
The Land Report, the magazine for the American landowner, is a proud supporter of the Michael Hart Show. Currently, they're offering an exclusive subscription price for listeners of the Michael Hart Show. So click on the subscribe button on landreport.com and enter the code HARTSHOW at checkout and receive a one-year discount on America's number one land magazine. You'll get a full year of the Land Report, which normally goes for $59, for only $15. That's a 75% savings off the cover price. Again, that's promo code HARTSHOW at checkout of thelandreport.com, and make sure to check out The Land Report on Facebook if you love land.
Don't you hate it when your computer is running slow? Did you know that could be a sign of viruses, spyware, or Trojan horses giving hackers access to your private data? Do not let your identity be stolen. Do not let your private documents be made public. Do not let a hacker hold your family photos hostage. Do let the industry-leading security experts at Liberty One Tech ensure that your computer and network are safe. Liberty One Tech will also help secure your online accounts to keep hackers out and make sure you never lose access. It's all free when you join the Talk Text Plus service. With Talk Text Plus, you have unlimited VIP access to expert technology help 7 days a week so that you can always make the right click. Sign up today and get the free security checkup at libertyonetech.com. That's Liberty, the number one, tech.com.
Part of America and the Michael Hart Show is brought to you in part by the Unknown America Project. Unknown America, myths and little known oddities about the greatest nation on earth, explores many of the falsehoods and fallacies and revisions in American history that impact the beliefs and the thoughts of many people in this country today. So if you'd like to learn some of the most enduring myths that have been perpetrated on the American public for the last 100 plus years in this country, go check out the book at heartofamerica.net. That's heartofamerica.net. And pick up a copy of Unknown America. It comes out to you absolutely no shipping. It'll be autographed, and we'll even send you a copy of the United States Constitution is our way of saying thanks. So support the Unknown America Project by simply going to theunknownamerica.com, and thank you for your support.
It's not right versus left. It's us versus them. It's the Michael Hart Show.
Story time last night. We get story time first thing this morning. Ambassador Sondland, welcome. Glad you're here. I'm really not glad you're here, but welcome to the fifth day of this circus.
Hello, boy. Oh, my God.
Hello, boy. BK, boy. This think it's credit, but it's debit. It's debit. Hit that shorty once and I forget it. Big bucks, you better recognize. Might go Rick Ross with the curly fries.
So, are you sold yet on high crimes and misdemeanors, that is? Because that's what you've seen this past week is nothing more than a parading of one. And isn't it also interesting that so many of these people that supposedly were like the star witness had like fringe information? The ambassador of Ukraine, Ivanovich Sondland. You know, the story, the guy from Monday, his name slips my mind all of a sudden. None of them know anything. That would kind of imply to me that there's nothing to know. So, in about 15 or 20 minutes or so, if she remembers to get up, we're going to have a conversation with Megan Barth, and I'm sure Megan will have a lot to say about this. But, you know, I'm so overwhelmingly bored with it. There are a couple of radio stations in my hometown, and Rush Limbaugh's doing it too, that are playing the hearings in their entirety. And I've tried to listen. And I get 3 or 4 minutes into it, and I get so frustrated that I simply turn it off. And I'm starting to wonder what some of these local radio stations in particular, you know, what they might be thinking. I can't say that if I was on the air on a terrestrial tower that I wouldn't do the same thing. But I can't help but think that Americans en masse are simply tuning it out. It makes for great cable programming. It helps them produce their content. I just don't know that it's even remotely beneficial to the bottom line of what they're trying to convey in terms of listenership. Because this thing is the biggest farce in the world. And I am unbelievably bored with it. But I'm also simultaneously saddened by it. I try to do everything in my power. And I think I've been successful in being as straight a shooter as I possibly can. To give you the straight scoop, tell you what's going on, take you back through history to prove my point and to demonstrate it. One of my biggest frustrations as a historian is how much of it is completely misleading or false. We lionize and canonize people that don't deserve it. We whitewash events that are sometimes better than they're portrayed or uglier than we thought. Currently, I am working on a presentation that I hope to have the opportunity to deliver primarily to university students, college students. The title of the program is Call 911. We have a fatality at the intersection of media and politics. And we truly do. How frequently do we hear stories about Google or Yahoo or whatever being censored in places like North Korea and China? Access to the internet limited or restricted? People that are incarcerated because, you know, the state discovers, you know, their Gestapo discovers that they were listening to rock and roll music illegally on their device. And we feel sorry for these people because they don't have access to Amazon. They can't shop online. They don't even have an Instagram. Dear God in heaven, how can you be a teenager in North Korea and not have an Instagram? Oh, whoa. The horror. The despair. They have their state-run media crafting a constant narrative. One that is completely projected. A lot of people realize that Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il, was actually, you aren't going to believe this, but this is the truth, was a movie producer. He kidnapped some people, well, from China, a couple, and had them produce propaganda movies for him. True story. That was his forte. Propaganda, pamphlets, because they crafted the narrative in those countries. Hell, half of North Korea still thinks they're fighting the United States. In a legal sense, they are, but because, you know, there's never been a formal surrender of that event. But let me ask this question. The Chinese, the North Koreans, and others are keeping their citizens from information. The United States media is overwhelming us with false information. What's the difference? Oh, silly me. I forgot. I've still got my Instagram. And somebody's going to body shame me. but in a more serious tone. Too many Americans are kept every bit as much in the dark as the most cloistered North Korean ever thought they were. Hello, Clark. How are you?
Michael, I am ecstatic, man.
So, about?
Well, you going like 5 days a week in terrestrial, man.
Yeah, we're working some things out, and it's probably going to be a little difficult for people as far north as you to hear us on the radio, but we are definitely going to still be online. We'll be producing a podcast via a terrestrial tower out of Birmingham that, if it is as successful as the people behind it believe it will, we may very well return to the big stick in the next few months. But don't tell anybody I told you that.
Woohoo. Now, do these people that are behind this know that you probably bringing me with you?
They know all my baggage, Clark. So just kind of bear in mind that when we go from originating from a computer to originating off of a tower, you know, some of our more saltier comments are going to have to remain, well, over there.
Yeah, well, I can stay clean, so it's all good. So, I don't know, so much, but you just kind of threw me for a loop with that. I've been listening the whole time, but I got to go in and out of rooms, so I haven't caught everything. I did catch about old Kim Jong-il there. You know, did you ever think, Michael, that maybe he watched the Beverly Hillbillies a bunch and Jethro Bodine flung a craving on him to be a big-time movie producer?
It's possible, but I really don't think that a lot of people – I think a lot of people that just heard me say that think I'm kidding around, but no, that was his big thing. That was his –
That's true. He was really into American movies.
Oh, yeah.
I mean
– Oh, yeah, very, very much so.
Big producer. And I, my understanding is the son is really into comic books in the NBA, so, you know, apples don't fall far from trees, I guess, right?
Guess not.
Yeah. So, moving to our events from yesterday, Jordan did a really super job there and just flipped the narrative on him pretty well. Sondland was a Jeb Bush guy, right?
Yeah.
And he was a Jeb Bush guy until Donald Trump won the election. And then I think he dropped like $1 million on the inaugural bash. Now, it occurs to me, Michael, that this whole kerfuffle is about a quid pro quo. And ain't he got his job because of a quid pro quo?
Okay, say that one more time. You broke that one.
So, I'm sorry. The whole reason we're having this impeachment thing supposedly is because Donald Trump attempted to get a quid pro quo, right?
Right.
If Sondland was a Jeb Bush guy until Donald Trump won the election, and then he dropped $1 million on the inaugural bash and ends up with an ambassadorship, isn't that a quid pro quo?
Would certainly look like one by my definition.
So, you know, maybe this whole quid pro quo thing was just a bunch of hooey from Jump Street anyway. I don't know. You know, if you read Ayn Rand, she'll tell you that every rational thing you ever do is done for selfish reasons. And basically, every interaction you ever have is going to be on a quid pro quo basis at some level. So,
yeah.
You know, I mean, if it's not mutually beneficial, why do we stay in relationships and interactions with people?
Well, you know, there is that aspect to it, Clark. And you know what else kind of strikes me is supposedly you've got Trump holding military aid to Ukraine. Unless they investigate the Bidens, particularly Hunter, and his relationship to Burisma and whatever else dirt they could dig up on Joe Biden, right? Okay, so investigate or withholding money against a guy that is a political opponent. Barack Obama wasn't even willing to endorse Biden. Trump wipes up the floor with Hillary Clinton. Do we really think for a moment he was even remotely worried about a Joe Biden candidacy to the point where he would have to risk a quid pro quo or any type of accusations or allegations or accusals, if you will? There's me malapropping again. He wasn't afraid of Joe Biden, certainly not to the degree that he felt like he would have had him investigated or move him out of the way. He would have squashed Biden in a first debate.
Right. And, you know, he did this with how many people? 14 listening in on the call? So that's kind of weak. Who was the Democrat representative that kept going after Sondland about who benefits from an investigation of Joe Biden until he finally got Donald Trump for an answer? Do you recall was who it, that was?
You talking about Sean Maloney?
Could've,
the guy
yeah,
from New York?
Been. Yeah, and he kept hammering and hammering and hammering until finally it's kind of like we're following the money or something on a detective show, and Donald Trump is the one that benefits from an investigation into Biden corruption. And I just couldn't quit thinking about that whole interchange. Why didn't somebody on the Republican side turn that question around and say, well, why don't we just leave Biden out of it and look at corruption in Ukraine that affected an election in the United States, and who benefits from an investigation into that? Probably the American taxpayer, when we have highly placed politicians that are leveraging taxpayer dollars for personal financial gain. Oh, so I thought that was a really good opportunity that got missed there. Oh, I don't know, constraints of time or when you get to ask your questions probably had to do with that not being addressed.
Right.
And then the other thing that's been going through my head. Okay. So far, the Dems in the House control this entire process. And they get to make up rules as they go along, like Calvin did playing Calvin ball or whatever. But if they vote to impeach and this goes to the Senate for a trial, if I'm a Republican in the Senate, we cannot try Donald Trump for attempting to get a quid pro quo until we know the nature of the corruption that he wanted investigated in Ukraine. And you count on Joe Biden testifying for a good 6 to 8 hours. Now, you think about that, Michael. What does Joe Biden know from being an insider in the Obama White House? How sharp is Joe Biden going to be if he has to testify? That man can't keep things straight for 15 minutes at a time. Uh-uh. You put him up there for hours, and what kind of stuff gets spilled? And John Kerry, who is Devon Archer's stepdad, right? And was Secretary of State when Devon got to be what is the name of the company he formed so he could do business with Rush? It escapes me right now. But you count on a former Secretary of State, John Kerry, going to be testifying. We're going to investigate CrowdStrike. We're looking into Crossfire Hurricane. I might even have people looking at FISA abuses. Is that where the Democrats want this to go? I'm not sure that the Republicans would do it, but don't they open the door for that if they vote to impeach?
Yeah, but doesn't that also more or less prove their desperation? Because I think that what is not being talked about, Clark, is much more heinous and possibly, you know, a real high crime and misdemeanor than what the accusations are against Trump or what they might discover through any kind of a FISA investigation. That's what I'm trying to get to here. So, and I don't know that it's an Adam Schiff of the world, but you've got people behind the people behind the people that are running this dog and pony show to lay cover for their own sins. And they are so desperate that they are willing to get into this bar fight, even though they're going to leave in an ambulance, because the alternative is leaving in a hearse. And I think they're that desperate.
They are. This whole thing reeks of desperation. You're exactly right there. You know, the one unfortunate thing to me here is Jordan, Nunez, Stefanik. We could name four or five others. They are not representative of the entirety of the Republicans. If that was the case, good or bad, one way or the other, the Democrat Party is over, because they could go for the jug here and just put an end to this thing as we know it. Now, I think if that happens, we end up with some kind of social Democrat party, and then the Republican Party splits into what used to be the Democrats and the Republicans. And I don't know how much better off we are a week after what we know is the Democrat Party is over. But, you know, yeah, they are in such a tenuous situation with all the things that could be used and leveraged right now that they could be done away with. If they had any killer instinct. And the last thing before, it's got to be getting time for Megan. What about the Epstein guard? Yeah, well, who knows? What about the Epstein guard thing? The question I have there, and you know, I know we have a constitution and these stupid rules we have to go by. I understand that. You put me in charge, and the morning I find Epstein dead, or I hear Epstein is dead, the guards, the shift commander, and whoever serves as warden, I don't know if that's what they're called there, but whoever is the head administrator, everybody in that chain of command is going in a cell. And y'all are all staying in a cell, and I don't care if you stay in the cell for the rest of your life. One of you tells me what happened here, and you'll get some consideration. You won't have to stay for life. That whole thing reeked so horribly. You know, fortunately, people are starting to meme Epstein didn't kill himself, and, you know, Christmas lights and drywall and Epstein don't hang themselves. But, you know... You know the difference between Epstein and Khashoggi, Michael?
What?
They had the decency to pretend with Epstein that it was other than a murder. That's the only difference I can see.
Right.
The net result is the same both ways. You know?
Yes, it is.
Very high profile and inconvenient, and powers that be got rid of them.
A lot of unanswered questions there. But, you know, we live in the age of unanswered questions, Fort.
Yeah, we do. Well, look, man, I'm going to hop and let you wrap things up and get ready for Megan. And, again, I'm ecstatic about your news, man.
Well, it's still unfolding, but a lot of movement coming up. But definitely 5 days a week starting very shortly. And, you know, there'll be a few terrestrial towers in there as well. I just don't know exactly. I know where they are. I can't announce what they are yet, but, you know, not what people might be thinking out of Birmingham, but they are Birmingham-based stations. But we'll be keeping people apprised of what's going on.
Well, you take care and keep doing it.
Thank you, Clark. You too.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, guys. Quick break. I heard from Megan last week that, you know, she apologized. She forgot, overslept, couldn't get her hair to work, you know, despite the fact this was, you know, audio only. But either way, she assured me she'd be here with us today. If she's not, we'll wrap this up on the other side. If she is, then we will take her as long as she will let us go. And that's our cue to take a real quick break and tell you a little bit more about the people that make this program possible. You're listening to The Heart of America with Michael Hart right here on the Heart of America Broadcasting Network. Coming right back at you.
Yeah. Andrew McLean here to remind you about my podcast, Over the Line. This is the podcast your mom warned you about, even though your mom doesn't really know what a podcast is. You really need to check it out. We have some great guests, amazing interviews, and we break down the political headlines of the day. If you want to be able to stay informed, entertained, and be able to win an argument on Facebook against those commie hippies, check out OverTheLineShow.com to listen to the latest show, check out some amazing merch, and see what's going on behind the scenes. Over the Line is also available on your favorite podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, and plenty more, to make it as easy to listen to the show as possible. Again, make sure you go to OverTheLineShow.com. Sign up for the newsletter and keep up with the show, whatever we do, wherever we go, and keep yourself informed. That's OverTheLineShow.com. In memory of Harambe, Danny Williams, and Andrew Breitbart.
Does your home have a water problem? Poor drainage around your home can cause all kinds of headaches. Disease causing mold, cracks in walls, foundation failure, even roof leaks. At Alabama Water Management, we know that problems can often be fixed from where the water is coming from, outside. Our approach is less invasive and less expensive. So before you spend thousands on a potentially unnecessary waterproofing system, call Alabama Water Management for a free evaluation. Alabama Water Management. Don't waterproof, water prevent.
To schedule your no-obligation waterproofing, drainage, or foundation assessment, call Alabama Water Management at 205-362-6419. That's 205-362-6419. Or visit us online at alah20.com.
Heart of America and the Michael Hart Show is brought to you in part by the Unknown America Project. Unknown America, myths and little known oddities about the greatest nation on earth, explores many of the falsehoods and fallacies and revisions in American history that impact the beliefs and the thoughts of many people in this country today. So if you'd like to learn some of the most enduring myths that have been perpetrated on the American public for the last 100 plus years in this country, go check out the book at heartofamerica.net. That's heartofamerica.net. And pick up a copy of Unknown America. It comes out to you absolutely no shipping. It'll be autographed, and we'll even send you a copy of the United States Constitution is our way of saying thanks. So support the Unknown America Project by simply going to theunknownamerica.com, and thank you for your support.
Anyone can tell you the news.
We welcome Diamond and Silk.
Mark Zuckerberg will end up, and it's going to be a face without the book.
Oh, book without the face.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
Now they're chipping away at the normalization of pedophilia, and the left is embracing this type of behavior.
We welcome Dinesh D'Souza.
I know I ticked him off. In a certain sense, it's a giant up yours to Obama, and that's why the left is freaking out over it.
Jack Kennedy and LBJ, Clinton, and the double standard from the left.
Yeah, I love how the left does nothing but push the most bizarre practices down our throats and up our tailpipes.
It takes a real man to tackle the hot issues that really matter.
Michael Hart is the man of this house.
Welcome to the Michael Hart Show.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Heart of America with your host, Michael Hart. It's time for our weekly speed date with a young lady that we have known for going on 3 years now, from all the way back in the terrestrial days. And hopefully when we make that conversion back to terrestrial, she's going to make that transition with us. We welcome in Megan Barth of ReaganBabe.com. How are you, Megan?
Good. How are you? It's been a while.
It has.
Lots to talk about.
And whose fault is that? Yeah, whose fault is that?
Yours.
It's not my fault.
Last week was mine.
All right. Well, we got a few other things we're working on here that might give us some more options to do some things. And so maybe, okay, you know, if we have to change schedules up or whatever the case may be, we can. But it has been a long time. And I'm trying, and I'm not going to be successful, Megan, trying to make heads or tails of this absolute impeachment farce and the comments from Gordon Sondland yesterday and Jim Jordan ripping him a new one. And we have the representative out of New York taking them, Adam Schiff, down a notch. And this is such an amazing farce. And you hear it in the voice of Devin Nunes and so many others. And I just want your thoughts on it. I'm just going to shut up and let you go.
Well, the impeachment circus even has a farting clown by the name of Eric Swalwell. That was a big story this week that I thought was great ridicule. But yes, farting clowns and a circus with the ringleader by the name of Shifty Schiff. I'm surprised that the Democrats wanted to commit Harry Caray on the Ukraine issue, because it seems to me that the Democrats were using Ukraine as a clearinghouse for money laundering and to launder their own pockets or their family's pockets. And not just with a couple bucks here and a couple bucks there. We're talking in total, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. We know that Hunter Biden obviously received $3 million. And one of the most stark hypocrisies I think I've seen in this whole sham is the fact that the Republicans, first of all, have been denied due process, but within that denial, they cannot call Hunter Biden, who really is at the center or the epicenter of this corruption. No energy experience, no Ukrainian experience, and yet he's paid $83,000 a month, depending on what figure you hear. It's either $50,000 to $83,000 a month for sitting on a board of a company that he has no idea about. But what we do know about the company Burisma, as well as the Obama administration knew about the company of Burisma, as well as the country of Ukraine, is that there is a history of corruption. Yesterday, because we had to watch this circus, many and only, I think, 13 million people tuned into the first week last week. The numbers dropped. I haven't gotten the numbers yet. But let's just say it was 12 million people tuned into the impeachment circus. But the rest of the country is only hearing the impeachment circus on the headlines of every news organization and how Donald Trump now, I guess, has committed bribery, or maybe he's committed a quid pro quo again because extortion's out the window. We didn't hear that the MPs over in Ukraine actually brought indictments against Burisma, whereby Burisma basically laundered $7.4 billion through whatever channels they had. And it seems like the channels they probably had were directly related to foreign aid, because Burisma was historically, under the corrupt owner of Burisma, making government energy deals. And those energy deals were likely funded by foreign aid and other avenues. What I also find very interesting about Ukraine are the ties to the Democrat Party. There's also ties to some Republicans like Mitt Romney, but we know Nancy Pelosi's son worked with Ukraine energy companies. We know Biden's son worked for Ukrainian energy companies. And when you're over the flak, there's that always that saying, when you're over the target, you're going to get flak. So obviously we're over the target, because they're willing to impeach the president in order to cover up likely their own corruption involved and a lot of different money laundering schemes, et cetera. But the Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton Foundation, we can't forget, were receiving hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, into the foundation from a variety of sources. We know that Hillary Clinton sold 20% of our uranium to Russia. We know that around that time, Bill Clinton was receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars in speaking fees from Russian oligarchs. And we also know that the Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton Foundation, known as the Clinton Foundation, lost in the last couple years close to $40 million from their charity. Now, that's interesting. When Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State and when she had all of the power, she was amassing hundreds of millions of dollars into the foundation, and she traveled a lot, you know. That was her – she traveled a lot. And she was traveling a lot, probably picking up these quid pro quo favors in order to enrich herself. What's also curious about that is that Jeffrey Epstein was their biggest bundler. And what we know is that now that Jeffrey Epstein's gone, and he was arrested about, I think, a year ago or so, that money has dried up. And what we also know is that Jeffrey Epstein, according to Amy Robach, who spiked the story under ABC, or she was told to spike the story under ABC, she said Jeffrey Epstein used bribery. So I wonder how much bribery Jeffrey Epstein was doing in order to bundle funds for the Hillary Clinton Foundation and Bill Clinton Foundation. So all of this stuff seemingly to me seems to be kind of tied because of the quote-unquote business interests of many powerful Democrats. And I would like to kind of look into that a little bit further, but I'll go back to my original point. When you're over the target, you're going to get flack. And for the Democrats to literally suicide bomb themselves and become martyrs on this issue, I find very curious, because this is telling me, and I think it should be telling the rest of the American people, what exactly are they afraid of? What are they afraid of uncovering? We know in testimony given yesterday that Barack Obama's ambassador to Ukraine back in 2015 was asking for an investigation into the corruption of Burisma. Now, geez, why didn't the appropriate channels under the Barack Obama administration start the investigations into Burisma? Well, likely because Joe Biden was the vice president and his son was making $3 million. And people were enriching themselves on the outright abject fraud and money laundering that was going on over there. And then lastly, it is highly unusual. I don't even know if that's the right word. But with all of the testimony that we have witnessed, we know that there is absolutely no due process. But we also know that now hearsay can be introduced, I guess, into any court system. So we can take away from the Ukraine issue many things. But from the Democrat Party, we need to take away this. The new progressive country that they're promising is going to be so great. No 1A, no 2A, no 4A, and hearsay now. Just this, just accusation and hearsay, much like they did to Brett Kavanaugh, is what they're doing to Donald Trump, is what they're doing to the Republicans in this impeachment circus, whereby that we've been denied due process. This could happen to any one of us in a totalitarian government with kangaroo courts. And I think that the American people, those that have watched and those that have turned off their TV because they're just tired, they're tired of this drawn-out charade of 3 years trying to impeach the president, I think that what we can say is, oh, there is a deep state. We were told years ago when we were talking about the deep state under Barack Obama and others that we were conspiracy theorists. But now Adam Schiff has done us a huge favor and debunked that whole conspiracy theory about the deep state and paraded all of these unelected bureaucrats in front of the world. And now we know that we have deep-seated in the deep state, deep-seated unelected bureaucrats who do not have an oath to the Constitution, or at least aren't upholding the oath to the Constitution. They're upholding their oath to a political party. You know, I hired Donald Trump to fire ambassadors like Yovanovitch. I hired Donald Trump to investigate corruption like Burisma. And we all hired Donald Trump because we knew there was a problem in D.C. with centralized power. And wherever you find centralized power, you find corruption. And so this is why the Democrats are gnashing their teeth and creating all of these false accusations, is because it's all about power. It's all about their centralized power and how they are going to manipulate and deceive the American people in order to increase their power within D.C. And around the world, obviously.
You know, Megan, there are times when I feel like you and I were separated at birth, because I absolutely agree with everything that you said, and having a conversation with our regular caller, Clark, earlier, and just some of the things that I've investigated as well, you know, talking about committing Harry Caray, you know, there are too few Americans that understand that people such as the Clintons, for example, that they have international interests. and that they are protecting said interest and very frequently entering into very suspicious arrangements, arrangements that may themselves be very illegal, and that the severity and the extent of those actions are so despotic and so illegal and so despairing that they would be willing to commit Harry Caray because the Harry Caray effort is going to be more palpable to their political and economic future than what might be discovered otherwise. And there, I just think there's too many people in this country that don't understand, you know, that we, you know, I think we think that when we have somebody who's in political office, elected office, that they are the height of statesmanship, if you will, but that there are people in the world, such as the George Soroses of the world, whose sovereignty does not relate to a nation, whose sovereignty relates to their own family or their own business interests. And America has those exact same bad actors as well. People that might be in positions of political influence, but are more concerned with what deals they can strike internationally or even domestically, and that this impeachment hearing, by way of trying to define high crimes and misdemeanors, is nothing more than an effort to lay cover to their actions. And I think, and I have to say that I think the thought of that to the average voter scares the hell out of them, because it means that there is a force at work that you and I both know exists, but a force at work that is entirely beyond our control. And we're referring to it as the deep state or the shadow government or whatever you want to call it. But it is, in fact, there. Trump has exposed it, and they can't Epstein Trump. So this is their second best choice.
Yeah, I love that. They can't Epstein Trump, even though they would if they could. And I'm certain that they would try. But when we look at, I didn't watch the Democrat debates last night. I was too busy doing fun things like doing food drives for veterans here locally. And we all know the same song and dance that the Democrats are trying to force down our throats, which is just big government, more government. And like I said, where you find absolute power, you find absolute corruption. And with the parade of witnesses that came out with all secondhand, thirdhand, fourthhand information, Alexander Vindman, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. Now, I have a pretty good social media presence. I received a lot, and, you know, I'm on radio. I received a lot of feedback from a lot of vets, a lot of active duty members that basically called him a you-know-what bag. You know, they're like, this guy, we kind of serve with this type of guy. You know, this is the guy that basically stole Chow. Like, he is a jerk. No one really liked him, you know. So you saw Alexander Vindman demanding that he be called Lieutenant Colonel. And he was offered the foreign defense minister position of Ukraine three times. He basically puffed himself up, wearing his uniform, wearing his awards, and admitted under questioning that he went out of the chain of command on advice of his lawyer. He went out of the chain of command because he talked to his lawyer, and his lawyer said not to talk to anybody. But then he went out and told like a half a dozen people, but he didn't tell his boss. So again, this illustrates that the deep state does not have any sense of duty to uphold the Constitution. They actually go out of the chain of command, bypass their boss, and go to everybody else in order to uphold their oath to their political ideology. So this is what we're up against. And it's not surprising. When you look at the whistleblower, we believe it to be Eric Scaramella. We can't even interview the whistleblower. And here's the thing, looking forward, right, because you try to figure out, you're like, okay, what's the pattern here? We know the pattern, but we know the objective. But if this fails, like the Russian collusion conspiracy failed, what's their next plan of attack? Where do they go from here? That's been kind of the nagging question in the back of my mind. I've been saying, and I talked to my mom yesterday, and she was like, I can't believe this is going on. You know, she goes, I said, look, just accept the worst, and then you won't be disappointed. So let's just accept the fact that the Democrats are going to impeach the president in the House. Big whoop, okay? We've known they've been wanting to impeach this guy since the day he was elected and the day after he got inaugurated. Okay, so let's just accept that as fact. But the interesting thing, and I don't know if Nancy Pelosi is really this stupid or really this cunning, or maybe she was just caught off guard by the release of the transcript. If they impeach the president, which I believe they will do, because what else are they going to do? What else are they going to do? They keep telling the American people that they have the goods. Adam Schiff ran to CNN, took a break after the ambassador, Solomon, whatever his name is, that basically said, we've got him on bribery. We definitely have him on bribery. Now, Jim Jordan uncovered that it wasn't a quid pro quo. There was no bribery, and the ambassador didn't put that in his opening statement. He basically left out that exculpatory evidence in his opening statement. Why? Who knows? According to the ambassador, he didn't think he had enough time, whatever the case is. But the fact is they're going to just manipulate the words that we hear into something like bribery, even though that doesn't exist. We know Adam Schiff loves to ad lib. So, okay, let's say they're going to impeach the president over bribery. Then it goes to the Senate. Now, the Senate could choose to hear it, or they could basically choose to say, no, F you, this whole thing was a farce. We're not even going to bring this into the Senate. But if they bring it into the Senate and they really go through the trial, then they can call all the witnesses they want. And they can call Hunter Biden. And they can call Barack Obama. And they can call the whistleblower. And they can call all of these people and continue the charade. But this time the charade is actually going to be about due process. And this and the impeachment will get a little bit more ugly for the Democrats. So what are they going to do? Are they going to hand over the power of subpoenas and public witness testimony to the Republicans? Because how they've handled this process is completely atraditional. So what, when the process becomes traditional and rooted truly in the Constitution, then it's going to get really ugly for them. So I don't know. I'm saying, yeah, they're going to impeach the president. But then part of me is like, well, if they do, it's not really good for them.
No, you know, and I have thought for the longest period of time that the president would be impeached. And the moment if they were to successfully impeach him, and obviously they would never get a conviction, that is tantamount to his reelection. But they have come so far with this. They're so vested in it, Megan, that the only thing they really have in their arsenal outside of an Epsteinization of Trump is to completely besmirch his character. What they can't seem to get through their head is the people that hate him are going to hate him no matter what, and his supporters are going to entrench themselves in his reelection effort. There is no upside to them with this. All they can really hope to get out of it is to lay enough cover for any of the accusations that are leveled to them against them. And, you know, I have no idea even what the time frame is like. Could they drag this on another year? Theoretically, they could. Are they doing nothing but laying cover so that they're distracting other people from the Epstein-type stories that are out there? Or are the people like – I don't know that Adam Schiff is necessarily embroiled in any wrongdoing, but he's definitely covering for somebody that is. He is on somebody's payroll, and it's becoming increasingly obvious every day – because it's almost as though every witness they bring on bombs more than the one from the previous day. Nobody seems to know anything. And then, of course, you had the Sondland guy yesterday that conveniently leaves out of his testimony that Trump told him he didn't want any quid pro quo, an admittance that we would not have gotten had it not come up in cross-examination. But, you know, the thing is so farcical and so desperate that, you know, I think you're right. I think we're going to definitely get impeachment out of it, because if this particular effort, this strategy does not bear fruit, oh my God, heads are going to roll and Pelosi would probably be out of speaker. So it is going to be interesting to see how that plays out. And, you know, and they know they don't have the votes, but they, again, they have no choice.
Well, they really don't have a choice. But the only thing I'm thinking that can really throw a complete wrench into their impeachment process is the IG report and John Durham's criminal investigation. We can't forget that John Durham's investigation into FISA went from a simple investigation and evolved into a criminal investigation, which means he found criminality in his initial investigation, and thereby it changed, right? So now we have a criminal investigation that started a month or two ago by Durham. So if he starts to perp walk, powerful people within the former administration, and I'm talking Brennan, Clapper, Suzanne Rice, Strzok, Page, McCabe, Comey, all of that cabal, then I think that will cause the Democrats a huge amount of bifurcation, which you're still going to have the socialist Marxist wing of the Democrat Party, which is truly just the Democrat Party. They don't really have a socialist Marxist wing. They're all socialists and Marxists, with the exception of maybe a few. But overall, the party is a socialist party. They've been hijacked by the socialists. The socialists have finally taken over control of the narrative and everything else. They're still going to hold on to impeachment because they want to fundamentally, no matter if Trump was a great president, they still want to fundamentally transform this country. That's the goal. And when you want to fundamentally transform something, you don't love it. But there's going to be a lot of other Democrats, specifically in the Trump's districts that he won, that are going to see these perp walks and understand that the criminality is a bump in their road to impeachment. So they're going to have to detour. So I think Lindsey Graham has a December 11th meeting, I think it is, in front of the Judiciary Committee. He's going to have Horowitz appear. So I don't know if the FISA report, the IG report, is going to come out around Thanksgiving or prior to December 11th, and then December 11th is going to be kind of a public recap of it, or if they are going to release it around December 11th. Nonetheless, this is the only thing I think that can get in the way in order to cause some pain, which needs to be caused to the Democrat mission of impeaching this president. And President Trump has always said, promises made, promises kept. You know, I've made all these promises. I've kept all these promises. One promise he made is that he has vowed, and Attorney General Barr, who gave a rip-roaring speech to the Federalist Society talking about the resistance and how they believe that their motivations are more important than the election of the duly elected president, that this can never happen again to another president. The only way that a coup, sedition, treason, what we've witnessed over this last few years, can never happen to another president again is if there are criminal charges brought against the very people that conspired and built this deep state coup against the president.
I completely agree. Megan, unfortunately, our time has come to an end. Tell everybody how they can find out more about Megan Barth.
They can go to my website, ReaganBabe.com. I update it every day with about, I don't know, half a dozen or a dozen stories that we talk about every day. Just about to update it now. And then they can sign up for my newsletter, which they'll receive every Saturday morning. And it's basically the top 10 stories of the week with video, audio, and featured articles.
Very nice. Very nice. And I'm going to be dropping you a message in the next few days or so, as I let it be known today, and I can't give any further details at this point in time, but we will be returning to a terrestrial signal here in the next few weeks while this
Great.
Particular program is also going to be they're going to allow me to do the terrestrial program and funnel it back through this particular podcast broadcast So we're really expanding our sphere of influence, at least here in the Deep South. And certainly, you know, as always, you know, I expect you to be a big part of that because you've been with me wherever I've gone. And I'll be giving you more information on that in the very near future. But I appreciate everything that you do, everything that you've done, your friendship and your support. And we will talk to you next week on the air. But you'll likely hear from me during the week, next week or so, with further details on part of what I've just shared with you. So, Megan, thanks so much for popping by. And say hello to your folks for me as well, will you?
I will, and they'll say hello right back, and have a very happy Thanksgiving.
So
you too.
I
won't be talking
thank
to you,
you
next Thursday, obviously, but thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Yeah, we're getting kind of spotty here, Megan. We're going to have to make that make a change, but happy Thanksgiving to you as well, and I'll be talking to you this week.
Very good. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Megan. All right, guys, let's wrap this thing up. That is it for us. Again, keep an eye on Heart, H-A-R-T, heartofamerica.net, heartofamerica.net. For further information on what we're up to, we're going to be doing a lot more social media stuff. We'll be making announcements over the course of the next couple of weeks, what that looks like, where it's at. You will still be able to pick this broadcast up at heartofamerica.net and probably going to convert it back over to the old MichaelHartShow.com website, which is also up and a place where you can listen to the broadcast. But a whole lot of additions coming up, and finally got some time on my hands to finish up getting the children's version of the book out and the second edition of it. I got so much material on my hands to work with, I can't even see straight. So I'm about to shift even more so into workaholic mode. But keep an eye on the website. You can also follow us on LinkedIn, on Twitter, at Michael Hart Show. Also, check out the book. It's on sale now for Christmas, no shipping and handling. If there's somebody that's hard for you to buy, 5-4 Unknown America, Myths and Little Known Oddities About the Greatest Nation on Earth. It's been just very, very well received and a lot of great feedback on it. You can pick it up at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, or Amazon, or you can get it discounted with no shipping over at theunknownamerica.com. That's it for us. We'll be back with you early portion of next week. Please consider going over to Heart of America on the Blog Talk Radio platform and subscribing to the podcast. That way you'll get an announcement each and every time we go live with a live link that you could just click right on through to and you don't even have to think about it. That's blogtalkradio.com and it's put in Heart of America. I know there's all kinds of different websites, but we're all over the internet and we are all over the news, and we'll continue to keep an eye on it for you over the course of this particular week and probably come back with you live on Tuesday in preparation for the Thanksgiving celebration that hopefully you have much to be grateful and thankful for yourself. Keep an eye on the website. Keep an eye on the announcements, and we'll be talking to you very soon. You've been listening to The Heart of America with Michael Hart here on the Heart of America Broadcasting Network.